And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is possibilities, perfection, and persistence. Each of my guests is commenting on what it takes to pursue possibilities and seek perfection through persistence. My next guest is a 5-time Major League All-Star who played for the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll explore how to develop a winner's mindset in business and in life from his book, Shift. Change your mindset and you change your world. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you just want to ask a question of Steve Sachs, you can call us at 639-0008. Steve Sachs' baseball career spanned 18 years. He's a 5-time All-Star player, as I said before. He was named the National League Rookie of the Year in 1982. Steve played second base for the Dodgers until 1998. During his years with the team, the Dodgers won 2 World Series. He also played for the New York Yankees, the Chicago White Sox, and the Oakland A's. Steve retired from baseball in 1994. He went on to be a commentator on ESPN and a Major League Baseball analyst for Fox Sports Prime Time. Steve also has theatrical credits. He starred in a number of different television shows, too many to list here, and he was had a recurring role on Aaron Spielling's Sunset Beach as a supporting role to Kiefer Sullivan in The Ground Control. He's published an article in the Wall Street Journal on personal responsibility and self-reliance. This particular article was recognized by the President of the United States for its candid and thoughtful remarks regarding character building in our children. Steve was born in 1960 in Sacramento, California, and he's been a Northern California resident for most of his life. He's the author of the book Shift, which is a motivational and inspirational book that outlines action steps to change your mindset and to become a success. Steve has 2 children joining us from the Sacramento area. Hi, Steve. How are you today?
Billy, you got all that out. That's great.
Well,
how about you?
I'm doing terrific, and you've had nothing short of an amazing life, so I just wanted to recap it here. But what I find most amazing, Steve, is that you had a dream, you had a desire, and, of course, the talent to be an all-star Major League caliber baseball player. And one of the key points that you have in your book, Shift, is that a big dream and leadership, both on a personal level and on a team level, kind of go hand in hand. Explain for my listeners that connection between a big dream and leadership, if you will.
Well, Billy, first of all, thank you for having me on your show this morning. And the way that I could best describe that is if you look at any person in our society that's been successful, if you look way back when and you look at the great Henry Ford was a guy to start. He's a guy that didn't go to school past, 15 years old. And this guy didn't have any higher education whatsoever, yet he had a big dream to do something amazing in business, and the world adopted. They absolutely adopted the way that this man thought about doing business through that assembly line process. And, you know, here's a guy who didn't have any higher education, yet he had a big dream to be a leader in not only society but in the world. And that's just one example of how that is the most important thing. That's the most common denominator that you'll see in all leaders, is that they have a big, huge dream. Look way back when to the 15th, 16th century and the great astronomer Nicolaus Copernicus. Here's a guy who, did a bunch of different things in his life, yet he was mostly known for being a great astronomer, wanted to show us that there was a multiplicity of worlds out there and that this world was built on a heliocentric cosmology, which in plain and simple terms means that the Earth is not at the center of the universe, but the Sun at the center of the universe. Now, way back when, they thought this guy was absolutely nuts, but he had a big dream. He had a big dream to start. And that big dream turned into tremendous leadership because the world also adopted, even though it was posthumously, they still adopted this guy's way of thinking about the way this universe was structured, the way it was built, and he was absolutely correct. But none of these people would have done anything had they not started out with a huge dream. And that's the essence of a lot of the things that I speak about. When I talk about leadership and determination and perseverance, it really does all start with a big dream.
That it does. My guest is Steve Sachs, author of the book Shift. And Steve, it's interesting that you mentioned Copernicus, because not only was he a big thinker and had a big dream, but he was also persecuted during his life. The Roman Catholic Church didn't think too highly of his philosophy that the sun was the center of our solar system here. So what is the connection between a big dream and leadership as you go through adversity? Because we all experience bad times. Copernicus had them. We all do on an individual level. On your, from your own personal story, how did you overcome bad times as a baseball player? How do you teach people how to overcome bad times as they're moving towards their goal?
Well, what I look at it is I see that people that are successful and the things that I did in my life was that I didn't do it in a grandiose fashion. I didn't overcome that horrible throwing problem that I had back in 1983 in front of a national viewing audience, in front of millions of people, being, you know, heckled and cheered at every single day of my life, going to bed with this problem, waking up with it, having that pit in your stomach, knowing that your career was on the verge of collapse. In front of everybody, it's almost like being stripped naked in front of people and have everybody just sitting there looking at you, knowing that you're really in dire straits. And that's kind of the way I felt. But what I knew is that, again, I couldn't do this in some grandiose way. I couldn't fix this thing in just, you know, a day or two. This was just about dropping a penny in that bank of success every single day, showing up. You know, another name for greatness is really not anything else except consistency. That's the really a great name for greatness, is just being consistent every single day. And that's exactly what I did. I was just dropping a penny in that bank of success every single day, going out, doing things correctly, time after time after time, being repetitious about it, and being steadfast, knowing in the manner of positive thinking that this problem one day was going to be over. And that's exactly what happened. I slowly built my confidence back a little bit at a time every single day. And pretty soon what I did was I created an inertia of positivity in my life. In every aspect of my life, the cup ran over to that particular department and that particular department and the other department. And pretty soon I had this inertia of positivity going on in my life, in my professional life, in my personal life, in my spiritual life. Everything was going positive in my life. And it all started just by doing a little bit correctly every single day. And that's what I think people can take away from when they're at the office, when they're going through times in their personal life that might be difficult. All they have to do is get in there and do a little bit correctly every single day. See, the key is not throwing the touchdown pass on first down. The key is not hitting a home run every single time you come up. It's just about doing a little bit correctly, but the key is being consistent and doing it every single day. That's the real key.
I love it. Greatness equals consistency. My guest is Steve Sachs. Steve, I want to ask you to comment on this quote from President Theodore Roosevelt, and it goes like this. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred with dust, sweat, and blood, who survives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who actually strives to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who is the best known, the end of triumph, a high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. What are your thoughts on that, Theodore Roosevelt?
I love Teddy Roosevelt, and matter of fact, I used Teddy Roosevelt in quite a few of my speeches, and he also said this quote, which is it's just remarkable, when he said, "Better to dream big dreams and attain great goals, even though checkered by failure, than to side with those poor spirits who know neither victory nor defeat, because they live in the gray twilight known as mediocrity." Hmm. And he talks about being mediocre and stepping out of that pool of mediocrity where you know that it's going to be uncomfortable. Anytime that there's a birthing process where something is going to be new in your life, or anytime you take a change of direction, there is going to be a time where it's going to be uncomfortable, and that is okay. That's part of the growing process, you know. And Teddy Roosevelt talks about that a lot in his very, very long speeches that he gave way back when. His speeches sometimes were 2 hours long. But what he talks about really is being an example for other people. I think that's what you can take away from what Teddy Roosevelt talks about a lot. When he talks about having the marred scars on your face and the blood and the sweat, he's talking about somebody that's going to be there, somebody that's going to be an example for other people. Because, you know, as a leader, people are going to sometimes forget about what you say. People are sometimes going to forget what you do. But as a leader, people will never forget the way you make them feel. And the way you make them feel is by looking at them as a human being, and then being that example for people. That's what moves people, is treating them as a person and knowing that you are a living example of what they should be. And that's what moves people.
Well said. My guest is Steve Sachs, former Major League Baseball star and author of the book Shift, Change Your Mindset, Change Your World. And Steve, I want to bring this back to baseball, your baseball career, if I can, because somewhere I've read or heard that a scientist determined that a baseball player such as yourself has 3/100ths of a second to decide whether to swing or not to swing at a 90-mile-an-hour pitch. So talk to us about that decision-making process that went on in your head during those 3/100ths of a second, and then in what ways do those 3/100ths of a second encapsulate the idea of a big dream, desire, training, preparation, all coming together at the same time?
Right. And it's a good question. But you know what, Billy, the real thing I took away from that, the scientists that came up with that, and I think they're absolutely correct. And by the way, for our listeners, 3/100ths of a second is about the time it takes for you to clap just as fast as you possibly can. That's about 3/100ths of a second.
Wow.
I always felt that the decision-making process, if you will, was not really correct. The decision-making process was more of a reaction than a decision-making process, because if I had to go through a process of deciding whether I was going to swing the bat or not, the catcher was already throwing the ball back to the pitcher. That's how fast this transaction happened. So I made it a time of repetition. I made it over and over and over again since the time I was a little boy, since I was the time I was 5 or 6 years old. My brother and I would use a tennis ball, and we'd get up real close to one another. We'd pitch against this water well pump house that we had out on our farm, and we would do that all day long. So we didn't make it necessarily a decision-making process, but more of a response and a reaction, if you will, just a reaction. And that comes with repetition. It comes with work and time after time of going out and doing it day after day. So I think that's what most players do, is that they make that decision-making process automatic. And this is something they should really do, and I think in their personal lives, as you talked about before. There are times when people have asked me about something that has been done, or my opinion on a certain subject, or what I would do in this situation, and my response was automatic. It wasn't something I had to think about. It wasn't something I had to decide about, because these responses and these actions that I take or would have taken, I know are just automatic in my life, because these are things that I know without question that I would either have done or not done. So My response time is really more of a reaction, and that reaction comes by way of doing things, doing it over and over again.
I love it. Repetition and then being prepared for the moment when it arrives, reacting to it rather than having to think about it. My guest
exactly.
is Steve Sachs. Steve, I love what you have to say. Let me ask you, if I can, to think back on your baseball career for just a minute. And you played here for the Dodgers for a number of years. What was your greatest accomplishment as a Los Angeles Dodger? And that accomplishment may have been on the field or it may not have been on the field. But what do you remember most from the Dodger years?
Well, that's really an easy question, and the answer to that would be when I was sitting in the locker room after we beat the Oakland A's in the World Series, to win the World Series in 1988, when Bob Costas had quoted that this team was the worst-looking team as far as talent goes that the World Series has ever put on the field. And then we went out and beat the mighty Bash Brothers in 5 games. So a lot that Bob Costas knew. But anyway, after game number 5, I was in the locker room, and I actually went off to one of the side rooms after the final out was made, and I was sitting in this little catacomb off of the clubhouse. I was taking off my uniform, was going to put it into a bag for posterity and hold it for later as something I could give my children. I didn't want to get it all stained with champagne that was starting to flow just one room over. And I heard all the excitement and all the things going on, and the television cameras were blaring and all this. And I sat in this little room by myself and took off my uniform, and I remember how I just kind of let my defenses down and how I could have absolutely gone to sleep right there sitting on that bench in this dark room all by myself and hearing all this go on just a few feet away. I was absolutely so exhausted from all of this mental toughness that you have to have in a situation like that, because you know, there's a lot going on at that time, as you can imagine. I could have went to sleep right in the middle of all that, but I didn't, of course. I went next door and joined into all the great hoopla. But I just remember that being on top of the world and being the best part of a team, which is the most wonderful thing in the world, being part of a team that was, you know, the best in the world, was just something that I couldn't top. And I feel sometimes for professional athletes in the way of boxing or swimming or in singles tennis, where they could be at the top of the game, but they really don't have an opportunity to share it with anybody else. And that's where it really stands to be the top of all the top, is when you're able to share that with your teammates. There is absolutely no greater thrill in the world than to be able to share that moment with your teammates.
Boy, I would agree with that. My guest is Steve Sachs, former Major League Baseball star. Steve, now you're no longer a baseball star. What are you doing? Bring us up to date. What are you doing in your life? We've only got about a minute left, but give us a brief synopsis of what you've been doing since you've left baseball.
Well, I'm so fortunate. I've never felt I've had a job in my life. I've always been able to do exactly what I want to do, and it's so grateful. It's so rewarding. What I'm doing now is I'm doing motivational, inspirational, professional speaking all over North America. If people want to check out what I'm doing, they can go to my website at stevesachsspeaks.com. I'm also doing a lot of executive coaching, and I really enjoy that. And I'm just having the thrill of my life right now. And I love going out and helping people in their personal and professional lives, both through the coaching and through the speaking. Going into a company and talking with the company, and then afterwards having a man come up to me. One of the most rewarding things I had recently was I was in the Midwest speaking to a company, and a man came up to me. He was a big man, too. Must have been about 6'5". Big dude from the Midwest, and he came up to me, and you can tell this was a man that didn't do a lot of sharing with his personal feelings and whatnot. Kind of like a guy that my father was when he grew up. You can tell he grew up, mostly in the 30s and 40s. He put his finger on my chest, and with a quivering lip, he told me, he says, you spoke to me today, and you brought back to me some real feelings that I had with my dad, because I shared a story with my dad and I. And he said, you brought back a story today that really touched me in a way that I haven't heard in a long time.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Steve.
Rewarding.
We're going to have to leave it there. We're running out of time. My guest has been Steve Sachs. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. We'll talk to you tomorrow.